send these Indians back may sound like a blatant racial slur, but in fact, culprit Andrew Bolt was only writing about his disdain for the Indian minor bird. According to Crikey blogger Jeremy Sears, news sources rely too heavily on headlines in luring readers and thus creates a disparity between those few punchy words and the actual content of the article. The For the States' Annie Wiley gets a heads up on all things headlines.
They're the things that people consume the least critically. It's the thing that somebody isn't going to read the article to see the argument, then they can just take away the impression of the headline without considering it any more critically than that. I think it's the thing which has the biggest impact. When you're trying to put something through that isn't well thought out or that has a massive hole in it, the best way of persuading people to that are the people who are just going to accept the first thing they see, which is this big headline. And also you can make it snappy and punchy and memorable, and that's the sort of impression that sinks into people's minds. So, yeah, I think the headline is very important. I think you can do a lot of damage with headlines.
In terms of damage, I guess that certainly brings us to Andrew Bolt's headline post, whether or not it was him who actually wrote it. The question sort of remains, can some people get away with it and other people not get away with it?
I guess it depends how critical your audience is. If you have an audience that's trained to look for the other side and try to balance what they hear with what they already know and assess it critically, then that will be less effective. Well, there's a lot of people who take the printed media as innately trustworthy. They'll let it reinforce the things that they already think, and something that they don't agree with, they'll just dismiss it.
Do you think that with the growing popularity of online news media, headlines have become even more important?
Yeah, because in a lot of cases they're all you get on the front page. You get a headline and maybe a picture, and that really determines whether you're going to click through to see it. So first of all, it gives the media companies a stronger motive for making them snappy and attractive because they want to get people clicking through. If you're looking at a headline in a newspaper, you're going to glimpse some more of the argument because it's right in front of you. But if it's a headline on a news story on the website and it doesn't grab you, or you just accept it as is, you're not going to click on it, so you're not going to have any exposure to the argument that is made in the piece.
Headlines having an entertainment value. Do you think that it's right for editors to be writing headlines with, in the back of their mind, a reader will enjoy seeing a dirty word or, you know, something more ridiculous on the page in front of them?
Because they're not written by the person who's written the article, there's often a disconnect. Sometimes it's two halves of the persuasive power of a piece, and neither side takes responsibility for it. So the author might say, well, look, it's the imputation that causes the damage might be from the headline writer, and the headline writer might say, well, the imputation is from the... Well, and also, we often very rarely know who the headline writers actually are. They're just anonymous sub-editors. And there's also the situation where a lot of the time you have quotes in the headlines that never appear in the article, or that are quoting the actual person writing the article, not actually any actual source. Or if they're quoting a source, they're quoting some commentator. They're not quoting anybody of any who's actually connected to the story or is the subject of the story. They're just quoting commentators' remarks.
Well, do you think that that would all be changed if the writers themselves were writing their own headlines?
At least when the person who's written it has also written the headline, there's some accountability for it. And if the headline misrepresents the article and the argument, then at least they can't just cop out and say, oh, well, it was the sub-editor who wrote it, not me.
What do you think makes the best headline?
Well, something pithy that actually accurately summarises what the article's about, but something that doesn't misrepresent one side over the other. There's a lot of that at the moment, and I've noticed that the ABC recently has found itself often repeating coalition talking points as the angle of the story. The article and the headline will mainly be from one side, not the other. So if you just were skimming through, you'd get the idea that that the balance was tipping one way or the other, which may not actually be backed up. If there's two sides to a story, it's perhaps misleading for the headline to push one of those sides and not the other. But they might have a quote from anybody. If they're going to start quoting from random lecturers at university or commentators, they're not participants. If it's just some commentator's opinion, why is that in a quote in a headline?
And do you think that if the headline is misleading, no matter what is actually inside the article, it skews the way that a reader might interpret what is being presented?
It does indeed. And it's very sad that it does, that people are not always critical consumers of the news. But particularly in politics, we all tend to consume the political news according to our own biases and prejudices and so forth. The way that it's most likely to do damage, I think, is not so much that it'll change somebody's mind, but that it will further close somebody's mind to another side or another argument. So I think that the stuff does damage, but only cumulatively and over a lot of time. Nowadays, they don't even bother reading the whole story. I would suspect a lot of them, the audience for these articles, they just read the headline amount of on the top. They go, 8 years for that crime? Outrageous. And it just backs up their preconceived impression of it.
Yeah, the cumulative effect, I guess, proves how important headlines are in, you know, for the average reader who isn't going to sit down and read the paper, you know,
back
to front.
They read 8 years. They don't sit down and look through the article and see, actually, he got 20 years. And that's the thing about headlines. You can consume them very quickly. A lot of people, you know, people are busy. That's the whole point of the tabloid format. If you look at the paper, and if you don't, in fact, buy it, you just see it at the newsagent. The headline's all you consume.
Legal practitioner and crikey blogger Jeremy Sears speaking there to Annie Wiley for the Fourth Estate.